Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Wommen, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the Believer's Authority was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
If things aren't working as well as they should, and you know why? Because God isn't doing it directly. He has to flow through people. And we are the only dirt He has available to work through. I have to tell people all of the time that if Jesus was ministering directly to you, He would do better than I'm doing. I'm better than I used to be. I'm not condemned and I'm not discouraged, but I'm also not deceived into thinking I'm manifesting everything perfectly the way I should. I haven't arrived, but I've left. But see, God doesn't have freedom to just move in your life. This is a mistake that people make. They think if God wanted to, God could just heal my daughter. He could heal this child. He could do this if He wanted to. That's not true. God gave you authority in this earth. And God Himself is a spirit, and God cannot operate independent of people. He gave people authority over this earth. Some of you just, this isn't going to mean what to you what it should, but that is a truth that if you could understand that, it would answer a lot of things. People who teach that God just sovereignly controls everything and nothing happens without His control. What a terrible doctrine. In my estimation, it's the worst doctrine in the body of Christ. For crediting God with the murder and the mayhem and the lying and the stealing and the oppression and the terrible things that have happened. There's all kinds of things that happen that are not God's will. It says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. That's as clear as you can make it. It's not God's will for a single person to die and go to hell, and yet they do it all of the time. Jesus even prophesied there would be more enter by the broad gate unto destruction than there is by the narrow gate unto eternal life. God's will is not coming to pass automatically. And you know why? Because God is a spirit and He has to flow through people. Satan is a spirit. Satan can only do something as you cooperate with him. You are the establishing force. You have Satan drawing on you and tempting you, but you also have God flowing, and it just depends on your choices. If you make the right choices, you can loose God into your life. You can see great things happen. Or you make the wrong choices, you can loose the devil into your life. And then you can sit there and blame the devil and say, look what the devil has done. But you're the one that gave him all of the ammunition that he's been using. You loaded his gun. You pointed it for him. He may have pulled the trigger, but you've given him every bit of ammunition that he's used against you. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church. So God is a spirit, and He turned control of this earth over to physical human beings. And now that man yielded to the devil and made Satan the god of this world, how could God fix things? You know, this is something I found out that a lot of people don't think this way, but I've always thought, I remember as a small kid thinking, God, why did you have to send Jesus? Isn't there some other way you could have forgiven man? Why did you have to send Jesus? Why did you wait 4,000 years after the fall of Adam and Eve? What about all of those people that lived during those 4,000 years that suffered because the atonement hadn't been made and there wasn't the way unto God that we have today? I don't know if you ever ask questions like that, but it would help if you'd use your brain when you read the Bible. Ask a question. Why did He come 4,000 years later? You know what it's all wrapped up in is the authority that God gave man. How did He create the first man? God said, let us make man. And He created him by speaking words. But that's when He had absolute control and authority. After He delegated the control or the authority over the earth to mankind, God didn't have the right to create Jesus. He didn't have the authority. He had turned the authority to rule this earth over to physical beings. And so how did He get Jesus here? He had to speak Him into existence, but the problem was He was no longer the only person that was in control. He had delegated authority to mankind. A physical human being had to speak these things. And this is the reason it took 4,000 years. Nobody was in tune enough with God to say everything that needed to be said. For instance, it needed to be said that, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a child. Isaiah said that in the 7th chapter of Isaiah. You know what? I bet you that God tried to get a lot of people to say that. And yet there's a lot of preachers, prophets, that were thinking a virgin's going to conceive. This must be my pizza. That couldn't be God. There's a lot of people that probably thought this. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going on the record. What if I was to stand up here tonight and say there's going to be a virgin that conceive? There was only one virgin birth, and man, there's not going to be another one. You know what? It took a lot of faith for Isaiah to say a virgin shall conceive, and his name shall be called Emmanuel, which means God with us, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Those are amazing things to say. But as strong as that wasn't everything. And later, Malachi had to come along and say that he'll be born in Bethlehem. And there was other things that needed to be prophesied. And so God had to spend 4,000 years looking and getting one person to say this and to say that and put all of these things together and speak forth all of these words. And then look over in Luke chapter 1 at when the angel appeared unto Mary in Luke chapter 1. Beginning with verse 26, it says, and in the sixth month, that's talking about the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy after John the Baptist had been supernaturally prophesied that he was going to be born. In the sixth month after Gabriel appeared unto Zacharias and announced the birth of John the Baptist, Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. You know, this shows you how fallen people were. Because here's God, an angel of God, a messenger of God coming and saying, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. That's wonderful things to say. That ought to be a blessing. And yet she was troubled and cast in her mind, what kind of greeting is this? You know, I'm sure that if he would have shown up and he said, you sorry thing, you are a stinking nostril of God, you're a worm, she would have said, it's God. But God shows up and says, hell, you're highly favored. God loves you. And we think, oh, this is probably the devil. That's how religion has messed things up. So that if it's good, this must be the devil. If it's somebody criticizing me and telling me how sorry I am, that sounds like God. I have people that have come to my meetings before and said, I just don't feel like I've been to church unless you step all over my church toes. And I just walk out of here just broken in heart, you know, cast down. Well, you're religious. Man, it's supposed to be good news, not bad news. Nearly too good to be true news. If you're going to some place that you feel worse after you go in than when you first went in, something's wrong. It's not the gospel. It ought to build you up. It ought to encourage you. Amen. And so the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. In that 37th verse, some of the translations render that, for no word of God is without power of fulfillment. And so here's what happened. God created the first Adam by speaking him into existence. Let us make man. Now, after he had turned the control of this earth over, he couldn't just speak the second Adam into existence. And yet, how did he do it? He had to find men over thousands of years that spoke forth what they could receive, their part of it, and they spoke a little bit here and a little bit there. And finally, after all of these words had been spoken, the scripture says when the fullness of times was come. In other words, there is a reason why Jesus came at the time he came. He came as soon as things were prepared. As soon as God was able to get these words into people and he would speak to people's hearts, and by faith they would say out of their mouth, a physical person who now had the control over this earth, they would speak words. People who had authority in this earth would speak with their mouth and release the life that was necessary to create this life of Jesus. So they spoke all of these bits and pieces. Gabriel gathered them all up and brought these words that had been spoken over the centuries and came to Mary and said, you're going to conceive. The Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, because no word that God has spoken through all of these people is without power of fulfillment. With God, nothing is impossible. And how did Mary respond? She said, behold, the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. You know what she did? She humbled herself and received the word. And then the Holy Spirit came upon her, and everything about the birth of Jesus was 100% natural, with one exception, and that is that a man didn't supply the seed. The word of God was the seed. This is exactly what it says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. The word of God is a seed. And the Holy Spirit took these prophecies, the words that had been God-inspired throughout the centuries.
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the Believer's Authority. The Believer's Authority is available for the very first time in book form and can be ordered through bookstores nationwide. Or you can receive a copy when you send a gift of any amount for the work of this ministry. Request book R327 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish version is also available. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 Atlanta Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series RM234 or DVD series R3205 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The third CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the third teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, the things that I'm sharing are just like the tip of the iceberg. There's so much to this, and that's the reason we have our website. That's the reason we have all this product that we're advertising. But you know, really, the very best way I have for you to get established in this is our Charis Bible College. And I know that some people think, well, I can't move and come there. Well, you know, probably more of you could do it than what you think. But even if you can't come here, we have different Bible colleges spread throughout the United States and other countries. We have distance learning, video correspondence course. We're in the process of establishing it over the internet. There's a lot of ways you can take advantage of it. So please call and inquire about our Charis Bible Colleges.